Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time to Bible Crossfire, a passage we read quite frequently at the beginning of our programs is John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says there, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And so continuing in his word would mean to study his word so you know what it says, and then continuing in it, obeying it, applying it to your lives, making application, and obeying it. Then it says in verse 32, this is assuming that you continue in his word, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So to be a true disciple of Christ, you have to continue in his word, study it, and obey it. And then if you do that, you will know the truth. The truth will make you free from sin, which says this: if we're not following the truth, we won't be made free from sin. So all these different churches teaching different things, they can't all be right. 2 + 2 cannot equal both 4 and 5. Only one of those answers is right. In religion, it's the same way. Only the truth will set us free from sin. As the announcer mentioned, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call tonight, I thought we'd talk about the character of God, God's character. This word character is defined by dictionary.com as the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing, his moral or ethical quality. So we're talking about the traits of God, the thing that makes God what he is. I believe that God has a great character, and that great character should motivate us to further serve him. And then in addition to that, when we study his character, we'll find out how we should be, what our character should be, because we should try to emulate God's character. Number one on my list, God is loving. Loving. A good passage to show that is the most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here we are as the creatures, the people that God created, were rebelling against him, and he sends his Son to suffer an excruciatingly painful death on the cross so that we can be saved. God is a loving God. If he wasn't a loving God, he would have just left us to being lost. But we created a problem with our sin, and God solved the problem by sending his Son to die on the cross for our sins. And God did this because he so loved us. God is a loving God, and we ought to be a loving kind of, we ought to be loving and love other people. Joseph from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I heard something today. I was listening to another station. I'm a traveling missionary, and I just try to learn and grow in the Word of God. And they said, if we receive our identity from any place other than from the grace that we got from the Lord on the cross, then we become prideful, and we begin to measure people by the level of our own false sense of knowing, you know, and we begin to judge people, and that blocks evangelism.
Well, I'm not going to comment too much upon the terminology, but the Bible teaches that regarding the grace of God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and so that we receive salvation by grace.
Yes.
And then there are passages like Hebrews 5:9 that says that Jesus became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so to receive grace in the sense of receiving the salvation provided for by the death of Christ, we have to believe, that was said in John 3:16, which we just read a while ago, and we have to obey passages like Hebrews 5:9, which I just read, show that we must obey. We must do as that, as the song says, the hymn says, we must trust and obey to be saved by the blood of Christ. Any follow-up, Joseph?
Yeah, the other thing is, yes, we must obey, but we cannot, we have to be real careful that we don't judge other people by our level of obedience because we feel they're beneath us. You know, we have to still stay humble with that revelation that you just spoke about.
Thank you for your call, Joseph.
Have a blessed one, brother.
You know, I'm turning to Ezekiel chapter 3. Here's one thing we do need to be careful about, the Bible says to be careful about. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So the thing we need to be careful about is warning folks when they're in sin. When a person, a wicked person, he's in sin, he's going to be lost. If we love him, and we're talking about the love of God and how we ought to emulate that, if we love him, that person like God loves him, we're going to warn him about his sin. And then if we don't warn him, not only does that not show that we don't love him like we ought to, but his blood will be required at our hand. We'll be lost just like him. If you have a Bible question or a comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. So God is loving, and we ought to be loving. Loving, as we just pointed out, doesn't always mean just cover everything up and say you're doing a good job when you're not doing a good job. That's not loving. You know, with our children, loving, there's a thing called tough love. Loving doesn't just mean with our children to always say they're doing great when they're doing bad. Loving them sometimes demands that we punish them or spank them or discipline them when they're doing wrong. Another thing that God is, besides loving, is he's just. I have a definition here for just. Guided by truth, reason, justice, and fairness in accordance with standards or requirements. You'll remember the story of Moses going up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And while he was up there, the Israelites made a molten, a calf, out of gold and their precious metals to worship. In Exodus 32, verse 31 through 33, it says, "And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and I have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." So Moses said, basically, why don't you blot me out of the book instead of them? But the Lord would not have that. He wouldn't have any of that. He says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Now this is talking about the book of life, the list of the names of all the saved people. And God said, these people that sinned, I'm not going to blot you out, Moses, your name out of that book. You haven't sinned. I'm going to blot the people out of the book who have sinned. In other words, they were in a saved relationship with God. Their names were in the book. Now that they have sinned, they've participating in making this golden calf in order to worship him, idolatrous worship, he will blot their name out of his book, the book of life, and they'll lose their salvation. You see how God is just? He's not going to blot Moses' name out of the book of life. He's not the one that sinned. He's going to blot the names of the people that sinned out of his book of life. Colossians 3:25 reads, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." You see, God is just. He doesn't respect persons. He doesn't show favoritism. The people that do wrong will receive for the wrong which they have done. So the people that do wrong are going to be lost, and the people who are obedient to Christ will be saved. God is no respecter of persons. He sent Jesus to die for everybody. God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. But not everybody's going to be saved, only those who trust and obey. Mark 16:16 puts it this way, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or a comment. God is also strict. My definition for the word strict is characterized by or acting in close conformity to requirements or principles. Now, I'm going to turn to an Old Testament illustration to show just how strict God was. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, so we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore, the seventh day of the week. Instead, we're to worship on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7. But back in those days, they were to keep the Sabbath holy. They weren't to work on the Sabbath. I'm going to be reading from Numbers 15, 32 through 40. It says, the children of Israel found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and all the congregation. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. That ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God, I am the Lord your God. God is strict. He commanded the Israelites. He doesn't command the same thing of us, but he commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath holy, not to work on the Sabbath. This man was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. The Israelites caught him doing that, asked the Lord what they should do to him, and the Lord said to stone him, and they did. You see how strict God is? He's a very strict God. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law today, but a lesson we can learn from this example is that God is going to be strict on us also. We should obey God's word just like he has specified. And if not, if we don't, God is going to be very displeased with us. Very displeased. And so, God is loving, he's just, and he's strict, and God is also merciful. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12 reads, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And so God is going to be merciful to us and forgive us of our sins. But he's not going to forgive us of our sins until we repent of them. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as long as we're willing to turn from our sins, God is going to be merciful. He's a merciful God. He will forgive us if we're willing to turn from our sins. And we ought to be merciful with other people. People that sin against us, if they're willing to say they're sorry, we have to be willing to forgive them, just like God is willing to forgive us when we say we're sorry. Eddie from Illinois, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I was calling in regards to many churches have pastor's anniversary, pastor's banquet, pastor appreciation. I want to know, is this taking the glory from the Lord by giving the pastors all the praise, and when there's other people in the service that's working and they don't receive the same thing? As in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, it tells us that many gifts into the body and all the gifts are the same. There's no one, James says, there's no respect of person. So that's kind of my question.
You know, as far as being celebrating the pastor's anniversary as part of the church worship, I would be opposed to that, because that is just like you said. We would be praising the pastor or the preacher. When we're worshiping God, we're supposed to be praising God. For example, Jesus said when he was tempted at the end of that trial or temptation period, Matthew 4 verse 10, he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we are to worship God. So when we're worshiping God, like at church, worship God and nobody else. Don't give praise to the pastor or the preacher. I wouldn't do that. Now, if we're at home and we want to have a birthday party, or we want to give a party to the preacher because he's been there 10 years, I don't see anything wrong with that, because we're not worshiping him. It's not part of the worship service. But in the church, we're to worship God. Well, anywhere, we're only to worship God. Eddie, any follow-up?
No, I that's my concept of it, too, that he's taking the praise that only do Jesus Christ is in the church, and he shouldn't be given that praise and that glory. I agree with you there wholeheartedly. So that was my thought process also. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Eddie. Troy from Colorado, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I was just listening in to the broadcast here, and most of the stuff I agree with you on what you've been quoting and saying, except for I believe you misused the passage in Acts 20 verse 7, where it says that they met together on the first day of the week and were celebrating the Lord's Supper. But nowhere in that scripture does it never say not to follow the Sabbath anymore.
Okay. You're right. It doesn't say that in Acts 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7 is just talking about them worshiping on the first day of the week. Follow me, Troy?
Right. Yeah.
But there are...
And they worship on every day, but there's no scripture that I know of anywhere in the Bible that says that we're not supposed to follow the Sabbath anymore.
Well, I would suggest to you there are a number of passages that teach that exact thing. Let me... asked you to consider, Troy, Colossians 2, 14 through 17. It's talking about Jesus here in Colossians 2. In verse 14 it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Skipping down to verse 16, it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And so, it says that these ordinances, laws ordained by God, were blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and then he gives four sample examples of ordinances that have been blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and one of those is the weekly Sabbath. Colossians 2, 14 through 16, Troy.
Okay.
I tell you what I'm going to do. This program is not, we don't have enough time to deal with this Sabbath question in an exhaustive way. But go home. When you get home, read Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Another passage you might read is Romans 7, 4 through 7, which shows that we're dead to and delivered from the law that includes the Ten Commandments. We appreciate your call, Troy.
Thank you.
And I'm saying this to Troy and everybody else. If you want to discuss these topics, like the Sabbath or anything else, in more detail, send me an email at any time during the week at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Justin from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, so I was just like on the internet on some forum, and some atheist brought up like this verse that was, they were basically trying to compare the Bible to the Quran, and what he used was Luke 19, verse 27, which says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And now it's a parable that Jesus is talking about, I know. And he's saying that this is basically like it's like a parable about the kingdom of God. So what exactly does that particular part of the parable mean, so to speak?
Hey, Justin, I guess what I'm going to have to do is I'm not familiar enough with that passage right off the top of my head to make what I would consider to be an intelligent comment. Why don't I do this? Why don't I look up and study on Luke 19, verse 27, and make a comment upon it next week? Can you try to call in next, or not necessarily call in, but at least listen in next week, and I'll try to make a comment on Luke 19, 27?
Yeah, I can do that. So I don't know if that, I'm in Spokane. I guess it's on at this time, this station, this time every Sunday.
Right, same time. I guess that's like 6. You're in Spokane, Washington, so it'd be like 6 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 6:30 Pacific every Sunday night.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Justin.
All right, bye.
You know, when we, as Bible teachers, we don't necessarily know the answer to every Bible question, especially off the top of our head. And so what we do is when we don't know something, we don't feel like we can do a good job answering a question, we should just say, we don't know, study up on it during the week, and we'll come back with the answer next week. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Another trait or characteristic that God has is He's patient. And we certainly can be thankful for that. Notice 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 11. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And so, based upon this verse, we can certainly be very thankful that God is patient. He's not willing that any should perish. And that's why He's delaying His second coming, is what this is basically talking about. He's giving everybody a chance to repent. Maybe you're out there and you know you need to repent of your sins, and you know that. God has been patient with you. You need to repent. He's given you this much time, but you don't have another day guaranteed. You may die in a car wreck tomorrow. Repent of your sins. Everybody needs to repent of their sins. Luke 13:3 says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God is patient, and we can appreciate Him so much for being patient. And we ought to try to emulate Him and be patient with others, just like He's patient with us. And then the last trait I want to try to go over tonight is God is faithful, meaning He does what He says He is going to do. He keeps His promises. Let me read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 along these lines. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." When we're tempted, God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, and He's going to make a way of escape. Whenever we're tempted, we need to remember that. We need to look for that way of escape and take the way of escape and not sin. We can be thankful that God will keep His promise and never tempt us, allow us to be tempted above what we're able, and always make a way of escape. A great promise to Christians. We need to take advantage of that way of escape. We need to appreciate the character of God. He's loving, He's just, He's strict, He's merciful, He's patient, He's faithful. If we'll appreciate like that, like we ought to, the character of God, that'll motivate us to serve Him more faithfully. And as I mentioned, we should try to emulate God's character. So we should be loving, just, strict, merciful, patient, and faithful. It's almost time to go off the air. If you have a Bible question or comment, real quick, 877-655-6755. We talked about God being merciful. You know, God's mercy does us no good unless we take advantage of it by obeying the gospel. You see what I'm saying? God's extending His mercy in that He's willing to forgive us if we're willing to turn from our sins, if we're willing to obey the gospel. But if we never obey the gospel, what good does His mercy do? We're not taking advantage of it. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." So we all need to obey the truth, obey the gospel, not obey false religious teaching. That won't do us any good. John 8:32 lets us know that only the truth will make us free from sin. And this verse, 1 Peter 1:22, says we purify our souls in obeying the truth. If we obey something different than the truth, our souls will not be purified, and we won't be taking advantage of God's mercy. Appreciate you listening this evening. We want you to listen every Sunday night at this same time. Again, if you want to converse further, perhaps in more detail about any Bible subject, send me an email anytime during the week at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com, or my phone number is 256-682-9753. Thank you for listening.